Hello and welcome to yet another edition of Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM or on demand anytime online at federalnewsradio.com. Keyword Ready to Prime. My name is Alan Scott. Now, the idea behind this program is pretty simple if you think about it. I mean, if you really sit and think about it, Ready to Prime is the name. You got so many people currently working on contracts for the Department of Defense, VA, NIH, you name it, there are people everywhere. Odds are a small percentage of those people are saying to themselves, you know what? I think I could probably do a better job of this on my own. Why am I working for company X or company Y? Yeah, they got good benefits and everything, but you know what? They're skimming off the top and putting it in their pockets to feed everybody else. Yeah, I might get a bonus at the end of the year, but you know what? I could be taking all of that home myself. Now, a smaller percentage of those people are probably saying to themselves, you know what? I can actually step off the ledge and do this myself. So you got two different groups. Yeah, actually, there's three. The group of people that continues to work day in and day out, no problems whatsoever. They retire. They go on about their way, fishing in Florida, doing whatever it is they do. You got those who complain about working every day, saying, I can do it myself. But then that elite group of people, very small, that says, I think I can make this happen. My customer loves me. I can do this. I have a person here in the studio who is the epitome of that very idea. Devon Kelly is his name. He's the president and CEO of Novad Management Consulting, highly successful player in the finance and management IT world, going up against the likes of Booz, going up against the likes of PricewaterhouseCooper, and winning. And he's here right now.
I'm doing well. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you, Alan.
Absolutely. Always good to have someone who knows what's going on in the room to talk government contracting, because that's what this station's about. That's what this show's all about. Think about how you got started many years ago, 2003, I believe it was.
2003, that's correct.
You weren't a disgruntled employee, or maybe you were. I don't know. I don't know. By the way, in the interest of full disclosure, we've been friends for a long time.
Very long time, right?
We'll just say over 30 years.
Easily over 30 years.
But during this time period of your life, we were miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't a disgruntled employee. But, or maybe you were, I don't know. I'm going to let you tell the story. What was your catalyst? What got you up off the ground?
Just opportunity. I had some mentors around me who thought that at the time that I was working for a consulting firm, and I was a senior manager at that consulting firm, thought it was an opportunity for me to go out and really get on the business development and the business side of it. I'd always had an entrepreneurial mindset in running a business of some sort. And so in my mind, I thought, why not do it in an area that I thought I was pretty good at, which was management consulting. So I took advantage of the opportunity and went out on my own and said, let's see what we can do with this.
Okay, so not only is he a very successful businessman, but he's got a book also, A Legacy in the Making, From Courtside to the Boardroom. And I want to go back to a chapter here in the book where you talk about that time that you made the decision. It's in chapter 4, Making the Fast Break. talking about being that senior consultant and everything was going well, but you thought it was an appropriate time to take that risk. You had money set aside. What other checklist did you have in your mind, if any, when you said, you know what, I'm ready? Was it the mentor that pushed you, or were you just mentally and physically prepared to make it happen?
I think everyone has a checklist when they get out to go, but what you find out in entrepreneurial world, that checklist goes away pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so really what you need to do is, in my opinion, is have someone who breathes the confidence that you will be able to be successful if that checklist goes awry, right? So you think you have everything. You think you have customers. You think you have contacts. You think you have money put away. But until you're actually out there on your own where that check isn't coming on the 2 weeks, you don't know what you're missing. But like anything, if someone's behind you pushing you, says, hey, look, don't worry about it. It's going to be some rough times, but the road to victory is worth all the sacrifice you're about to make. And that's how I took it on. And, you know, a lot of blessings in there, a lot of more no's than yeses. But we stuck to a path that we thought was going to be successful, or that I thought was going to be successful. We surrounded ourselves with good employees, good people, like-minded people. And 13 years later, here we are still grinding and still being successful.
So when you were hitting those doors and getting a lot of no's, a lot of doors closed in your face when you were first getting started, did it ever discourage you? I mean, yeah, you had those people behind you going, you can do it, right. Little engine that could, come on. But was there a point in time ever where you were like, what did I just do?
Yeah. You know, there's not an entrepreneur out here that doesn't go through that, right? Yeah. So you go home and you go, look, this was the wrong move. Let me go back and get that consulting job and live life good. There's a competitive nature about me that allows failure. It's not an option. So that was my driving force. And I just said, I'm going to do everything I can to make it successful. And if it doesn't work, and I realistically believe that I did everything possible, then I was going to be okay with that. It's tough. It's really tough at the beginning. It's like almost getting a job, right? So you don't have a resume built up. You're trying to convince somebody that you can do this work.
No past performance. Other than your own.
And so you look at someone that says, hey, look, just give me one chance. And then fortunately, when we got our first contract with SBA, that was our one chance. And once we started off that, we made a success with that. And that was the past performance to show that we could do it. And I never wavered. I mean, you know, 13 years in it, you still kind of look around. You go, man, are we going to get the next one or whatever? But it's sort of kind of the piece that makes you thrive to say, hey, look, don't get too complacent and keep pushing to get more. And that's what we're doing.
There's a statement here, it continues in chapter 4, and I love this line here. Success comes when preparation meets opportunity.
Absolutely. I mean, without that, you will never succeed. You're always looking for an opportunity. You never know when it might come. You never know when you prepare it. But we were ready for that opportunity when it came. And when SBA came and they awarded us that first government contract, we were ready for it. And, you know, we really knocked it out the box. I mean, it was a 6-month contract that we've now turned into an 8-year contract. And I always, the management staff over there at ODA is the same management staff that's to today. And I thank them every day for the opportunity they gave Novad, because without that opportunity, you know, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation, because no one else was willing to give that opportunity. And for that matter, it was a prime contract, which was even better, because now we were the prime without any subs. So we were basically out on a ledge by ourselves, and we were either going to sink or swim. And we put everything we had to make that contract a success. And I think, Because of that past performance, all the other contracts have fallen in between it.
So that was the very first award you got, and it happened to be a prime effort. Are you subs anywhere? What is your theory on sub versus prime? What is better?
So as a small to mid-sized firm, obviously we started off small, that people would consider us mid-sized now. I believe in teaming relationships. We like to use the language as teaming partners rather than sub to prime relationships, because again, you both companies, three companies, two companies, you're both invested in making your client a success. Mm-hmm. So we've been successful at being a sub, offering value added to that contract. We've been also successful at being a prime, where we've bought other companies, bigger companies, smaller companies that add value added to the contract. I think that's the most important things when you're getting teaming partners, is have them add value added. So yes, in legal terms, there is a subcontractor and there's a prime contract. For us, in all of our disclosures to our client, there are teaming partners, because we are all vested in making that a success.
Developing a business relationship with someone is absolutely key. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you go about ensuring that those relationships remain firm? For those who are listening out there thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I don't even like people. How can I go out and make a relationship work?
So it's like anything. It's like life, right? So you have to partner yourself with like-minded individuals, persons who when you're speaking with them, they have the same vision, the same work ethic, the same goals and objectives that you had. And if you're on the same page at the beginning for there, the business part of it usually will work itself out. We also like to thrive ourselves on not on short-term vision, right? We're on long-range planning, long-range goals. And when you do it that way, then you're invested into the makeup of that contract. You're invested in the relationship. Your client immediately sees that. And then from there, you can build upon that. So you can take a small 3-month contract, a small 6-month contract, and if that client believes that partnership is a vision that can add value at it, you can make that contract a success all around. So we don't discourage ourselves from looking at small contracts, because we believe that if we get in there and be able to show our worth and show the value added we can bring, we can really develop that contract to a sizable contract.
You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Alan Scott. My guest is Mr. Devon Kelly. He's the president and CEO of Novad Management Consulting, also a successful author, a legacy in the making from courtside to the boardroom. you wrote a book.
Yeah.
Do you ever sit back and go, I mean, we go way back.
Right.
I mean, and I know you were going to embarrass me by talking about us.
Right. We do go way back.
Yeah.
And you know, the book that from the court side to the boardroom, A Legacy in the Making, is basically starts when you and I were kids next door to each other, looking at each other in the window saying, hey, look, are we going to go to sleep tonight? And everything like that. So a lot of fun times. And what I think the book did for me, and I'm sure you kind of had an appreciation for when you're reading it, when you go back, you realize that a lot of things that influenced you when you were young, when we were running around figuring out if we were going to the pool or what we were going to do, had an influence on who you are today. It's the makeup of who you are today. And until I was asked a question, hey, you're doing all these things, you got your own company, you're in a nonprofit, you got barbershops, what's your legacy going to be? Until someone really asks you that question, you can't really answer it, because you have to find out how you got to be that person that you are, the legacy you're going to leave. So really, my mom, she told me to write it down. And I did. I started writing it down on a little piece of paper in a hotel room. And then I wrote it down. And then all of a sudden, you start writing stories on it. And it really was a reflective book for me to figure out where I am. It also, because I'm involved with a lot of youth, it also gave me the opportunity to allow them to think about their own legacy at an early age, something that I didn't think about when we're there. And in the way we are today, I think it's a good read. It's a good, easy read.
I sat down and read it in a couple of hours. It's a good book.
Right. Uh-huh.
It's a good book.
Yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's got, for those of you playing along at home, it has questions at the end of each chapter. It's not like a quiz or anything, because I certainly would have failed.
Right.
But it's got some stuff in here to reflect upon yourself, to
That's
answer
right.
questions that Devon may have gone through in the book. You know what? Now let's turn this finger around and point it at you.
Absolutely. And I think the questions were the last piece to the book that I think made the book, because mm-hmm. again, as the questions are asked, you can be a 12-year-old answering a question, or you can be a 48-year-old adult answering the same questions. And I think part of it is for people to discover, as adults like we are, their own legacy and what that would be. More importantly, for younger people to start developing where their legacy may end up. And I think that was the most important part of the book, of the whole thing, were the questions that we asked.
What keeps you up at night? Here you are, president of a company, CEO of a company. You've got the lives of a lot of people under you right now. You're like their father, so to speak.
Right.
What keeps you up at night? And I want you to compare that to what kept you up back in 2003 when you got the company started.
2003, what keeps you up at night is like, what have you made the right decision? You know, how are we going to get a check to come in, because you're not on the biweekly payroll? Are we going to make, you don't have any employees. So the idea of, are you going to make payroll, is really not there. It's just, okay, the money that's coming in is the money you're going to pay to live on. So how are you going to do that? So you really have a mindset of a me type thing, you know, and how we're going to do this, how we're going to do this. We're at about 140 to 145 employees, including about 20 independent consultants. All of a sudden, your decisions affect not only your employees, but your employee families. So when you say what keeps you up at night, that next contract that you may win or you may lose can affect a lot of lives. And so when you talk about the lives effect, you're talking about the lives that the book is meant for, young people's lives. And so, yes, that drives me, that the idea of empowering other people is a motivation for me. The idea of employing other people is a motivation for me. So, yes, that does keep me up at night to do that. But I think, again, if you have a vision that you do the right steps and you stay the course, then it's easier to maintain that. When you believe that you're going the wrong way, if you're making a left turn, you should be making a right turn, then you know you've done something wrong, and you're always trying to catch up with that. And we just try to stay the course, no matter how successful that contract may be. And it is different now than 2003. I mean, you have a lot more responsibility, mm-hmm. but I've put people around me, which I didn't have in 2003, to help manage that, and that's proven to be our success.
So back in 2003, when you were making the decision to make the company, you realized that the stars had aligned and it now was the right time. And you said everybody has a checklist
right.
that they go through to ensure they're in that point. Does the administration play a role in that checklist at all? When you're looking at the landscape of contracting opportunities, are you saying to yourself, well, there's going to be money this year, there's not going to be money next year, I better hurry up and do this?
That would be easy, right? So that's the easy way to say that's a checklist. Unfortunately, there's no blueprint for entrepreneurship, right? And I think that's what's the exciting part of it. That might be the downside part of it. Sure, you're worried about, but to say the checklist is worried about 6 months from now, you're really worried about the next day. Is someone going to take this meeting with me? Is this call back going to come? You're really living on the moment when you first start off. And again, and I say this often when I speak, you will get a lot more no's than you get yeses. And so then the question is always asked at the beginning, well, does that change? And the answer really is no, because you're going after more things. So the no's actually become more. And so the only difference is you have a few more yeses to kind of combat that. So when I did the checklist, I said, I'm already. No way I was prepared. No, there's no way administratively from an organizational standpoint. You're just not. There's no blueprint on it. My mentor had done it. He was a great entrepreneur himself. He can't tell you all the things that you're going to deal with. You think you know. Until you get in, you don't know. But if you write it down, you learn by mistakes. You say, okay, I'm going to do differently. You change up a few things every other day or every other week or however you do it. And stick the course that you think at the end of the road is going to mean success. Then, and a few blessings here and there, then you'll reach there. And again, I have friends who started out exactly when I started out. Same way, we were all kind of young. Let's go start our own companies. That didn't make it.
You didn't try to gather them all together and work with you?
We were all, that would have been the ideal plan.
All about me.
That's right. And so we all were like, okay, we're going to do this. And we were all kind of in different fields, right?
Yeah.
And we were, under this scope of consulting, right? Where is your thing? And so we tried to find our niche in there. Some people, sometimes entrepreneurship or success is really driven by just being the right entrepreneur, being able to drive. Some people say, look, I'd rather have that pressure on someone else, and I'd rather make that person successful. I've had people who start off with me now who are now working for me. And that entrepreneurial mindset only adds to Novat.
Is that what you would tell yourself back in 2003, knowing what you know today? What kind of advice would you, is that the advice you would give yourself?
Yeah, I think I would tell myself the same thing. I said, stay the course, be confident. So if you're going to do it, I think we had this conversation the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I said, in an entrepreneur, I don't think you can be halfway in. I think you have to say, I'm going to do it. One of the things that I had in my mind that I always felt was that I was skilled enough that I thought I had a fallback, that if it wasn't successful, I would think I would be able to go out and get another senior consultant job or go out and maintain that. Not sure if it would have happened, but that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped all in, right? I'm all in, me sitting there going, okay, here's what we're going to do. Had the notebook, had the computer. This is what we're going to do. And I think for entrepreneurs who really want to be successful in the government space, you have to be all in, because it requires you to be downtown. It requires you to go to vendor outreach systems, and it takes a lot of time with no revenue behind it, right? And that's what you have to do early on. But if you only go in the mornings and you're working somewhere in the afternoons, you're losing those opportunities in the afternoon. And at the beginning, you can't afford to lose those opportunities.
You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Alan Scott. My guest is Devon Kelly. He's the president and CEO of Novad Management Consulting. I was going to ask you where the name came from, and it clicked. As I'm reading the book, I went, huh.
Right.
I think I must have been in front of a mirror, right, or something. I don't know what had happened,
right,
but all of a sudden it made sense. This is interesting, because this is the first interview that I've done where it's turned into almost like I'm sitting back and watching. I feel like I'm hoping this is translating well on the radio, because this is a different form of interview than I'm accustomed to doing for this particular venue. Mm-hmm. The reason I say that is it's inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those. You said you do a lot of talks.
Mm-hmm.
You have a mentor. You are a mentor to other people,
mm-hmm.
And it's coming through. Because it is an inspiring lesson for those who are out there listening, saying to themselves, I think I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling them, yeah, you can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, again, if anyone knows, my background is sports. So that competitive drives you, right? And it's one of those things that I believe that you have to be confident in yourself, right? No matter who tells you, no, don't do this. And I had some people tell you, what are you doing? You're leaving the job. You have to be confident.
You're right.
All of that.
You do your 20 and go.
Absolutely. And I think in your mindset, if you have not convinced yourself that this is going to be successful, then there's no point in trying it. And it's not for everybody, but believe me, it's not for everybody. And it wasn't like I was right out of grad school and said, okay, let's go entrepreneurship. I worked. It was a minute before I said, let me really go out here and jump and do this. And do it. But I think it starts with yourself. It starts looking in the mirror and taking responsibility and doing that. So, yes, when someone says, can they do it? I would never discourage someone. I would never discourage you for whatever you were going to do to be successful. I just think it has to start with yourself. And you have to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and convince that person who's looking back that you are going to make your entrepreneurial pursuit a success.
All right. Here's a couple of questions. Just for those who are taking notes at home and trying to write up that blueprint for moving forward, there are those who say that a line of credit is imperative. Mm-hmm. You got to have a line of credit. CORs and customers are going to look at this and go, they don't have a line of credit. They're not serious. Well, how are they going to prime something? We're not going to pay them for 90 days. How are they going to manage to sustain themselves? Line of credit, yes or no?
I would say no, not mandatory. I didn't have a line of credit when I started. I didn't do credit cards when I started. To be honest, you're starting off a new business. You get ready to go try to walk into a bank and say, hey, by the way, can you invest in me? I'm about to blow up and get a bunch of contracts and stuff. It's a hard sell, particularly now in this area. I think it does require some financial backgrounds. It does require that, but you have to start off small. Again, we start off with people, like-minded people who knew that they were going to, independent contractors who knew that they were going to start and we were going to be paid once the client paid us, right? And so we were cash in, cash out. That's how we did it. Does it help? Absolutely, it helps. But if you don't have the contract, if you don't have a contract, the line of credit means nothing. You're not buying office space in this virtual world. There's office space not needed. So your line of credit really is for your staff, right? So the idea of going to get a line of credit in order to go secure contracts doesn't really play. Does it help? Sure, because you can go get top-level staff immediately. However, if you go get them and spend it and don't have a contract, the line of credit is already done. So we went a different path, not saying it was successful. We were blessed to have it, that we do it. You know, some contracts now require it in the RFP.
Exactly.
But those are bigger contracts who are looking for companies who have a lot of past performance. Again, as we started off the conversation, that's where the teaming partners come in play. Team with someone who has that, who can give you the financial resources that you otherwise wouldn't have.
How did you go about selecting the people that you have around you, whether it be today or past, and how do you know whether it's the right team?
A couple of people to start off with me, we worked together on some projects, and I told them that I was going to do my own thing, and they decided to join me and work along.
You had your Jerry Maguire moment.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a great way to describe it. Right? Right, right. And so they, and a couple guys came with me that we started off, a couple young ladies started, and we were
Jerry
all,
Maguire.
Right, right. So we had it, and we were successful on the one thing, and they bought into the vision that I had. The client bought into the vision I had.
That's key.
They bought into the thing and thought we could add, and I use this word a lot, value added, right? You never want to be the person who's moving a widget to a widget. You want to add value to the client. So they in turn would then go get you and bring you some more business. I don't know if you ever know you have the right person. Sure, if you've been in this thing 13 years, I've swung and missed a few times. But I start off with who the person is, right? So you start off with that person who has the same values or the same vision, whether it be the administrative assistant or whether it be your top executive. You all have to have, at a mid-size or small-size firm, if you guys have any differencing of visions and things, you're gonna prove unsuccessful, in my opinion. So we start off there knowing who the person is, what their thing. I hope that everyone who starts off with me aspires to be something different. I have no problem with a young man or a young woman coming to me and say, I aspire to be an entrepreneur at some point, but they're working for me now. Sure, that's who I was. Why wouldn't I want that same person to be driven to be successful within my organization to then in turn start their own organization?
His name is Devon Kelly. He's the president and CEO of Novad Management Consulting. Devon is Novad backwards, just in case you didn't were following along earlier. I'm a little slow. It took me a minute. Seriously. Is that sad?
It's not sad. My mom didn't figure it out right away either, so that's just all good.
I looked at it for a while and went, oh, I see what he did there.
Right.
That's pretty slick.
That's right.
That's pretty slick. So the book is called From Courtside to the Boardroom, A Legacy in the Making, and I learned quite a few things about you. Number one, you don't remember how to spell my name because I'm not in the book.
Right. So it's interesting. It's interesting on that because, again, you know, it's my first book ever written, and so the permission slips that you have to get for everybody. So we hide all the names
I'm just messing with you. It is a good book, and it did bring back some memories for
me. I'm sure.
Learned that you were with the Bullets for a little while.
Right. So that was a, you know, that again, every young man growing up wants to aspire to be in the NBA and buy their mom and dad a big house and make all lots of money and things like that. So I was fortunate enough to have a great college career and have the opportunity to make the Bullets. Unfortunately, I did make it. I will never, you know, the opportunity just to even say it, it still astounds me today. But
yeah, we were talking about this just yesterday. You were running with guys that I had known for a while.
That's right.
Neighbors with, you know.
Right. And so again, the experience was great. And I applaud all the young men trying to do it. But one of the things that I always say is that for me, I always had an outlet. I always figured that my dream was to be a businessman of some sort. I wanted to be in the eyes of my dad's image, and that was what drove me, right? So basketball, sure, who didn't want to do it? But what I saw every day was my dad getting up with his suit and tie on and going to work, and that was the image that I always wanted to be, and so that was my goal. So if you took that away from me, I'd have been hurt. Taking basketball away from me, I'd get over, right? So that's where I ended up going.
I wanted to ask you this before it was all over. I mean, you, the 13th man, you're the foundation, the charity that you're involved with, heavily involved. It's yours.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, you finance the whole thing. You're taking care of it all. You've got some incredible stuff going on. What's a website where people can find out about more about the 13th man, or a Facebook page? Where can people get more info?
They can go on to the 13thman.org to find out about the website. The Twitter page, the same thing, at the 13th man. We have all our information on there. It is a nonprofit for young men between 12 and 17. It's probably, of all the contracts I've won, of all the success that we've had, it is probably my greatest success story that I have. It is a nonprofit and the vision that I've always wanted. This is a vision that I think will help young men to see different things within life, to maybe to start their own legacy without going the wrong way. But again, some people are lined up the same way that they're successful. They just need a ear to bend or something like that. We have our Summer Classic, which is a 3-day mentorship at the Greenbelt Marriott. So we're looking forward to that. But if you look at all the success I have, the 13th man may be my greatest accomplishment.
True inspiration he is. His name is Devon Kelly, President, CEO of Novad Management Consulting, author From Courtside to the Boardroom, A Legacy in the Making. Devon, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I mean, I think for me to talk to you, to have an interview like this, to talk to you with friends since probably close to diapers, to get to hear, it's great. And
he's older.
Again, yeah.
Actually, now I'm older.
Yeah, you're older. 20 days. He's 20 days older. And that's why I never forget your birthday. 20 days. And to be in a position now for you to kind of tell my story and allow me to tell some of the history and anything that I can do to help other young entrepreneurs or other young men. That's what it's all about for me. And I think if we both look back to where we were running around on Shady Glen Drive, we look back and there are a couple older gentlemen who helped us. And I think this
Absolutely.
Is an opportunity to do it as well.
Absolutely. Thank you again for being here. We'll catch you again next time. This has been Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. See ya.
Thanks a lot.